Today we will continue our study of consciousness. So we studied the types of consciousness, some types of consciousness last week. The unwholesome consciousness and rootless consciousness. Today we will study the rest of the types of consciousness. So we will have to rush today. So the first group is dutiful consciousness pertaining to sense sphere. Now, pertaining to sense sphere means arising mainly in sense sphere. I hope you remember what sense sphere is. Sense sphere is the world of animals, ghosts, human beings, and devas or celestial beings. So those types of consciousness that arise mainly in these realms, in the beings of these realms, is called consciousness pertaining to sense sphere. And since these types of consciousness belong to a beautiful group, we call them beautiful consciousness pertaining to sense sphere. In Pali, they are called kama vachara sobhana chetas. So, beautiful, what is beautiful? They are called beautiful because they bring with them beautiful qualities or good qualities, such as confidence, mindfulness, loving-kindness, and so on. Or they are called beautiful because they are accompanied by blameless roots, such as non-attachment. We studied six roots in our last lecture. Three akusala, or bad roots, and three good or neutral roots. And blameless roots means a good or neutral root. That is the opposite of attachment, ill will, and delusion. So they are non-attachment, non-ill will, or non-hatred, and non-delusion. The types of consciousness we are going to study today are accompanied by two or three of these blameless roots. Therefore, they are called beautiful. There are 24 types of consciousness belonging to this group: 8 wholesome, 8 resultant, and 8 functional. We will come to them when we look at the charts. Now, they differ according to whether they are accompanied by pleasurable feeling or indifference feeling, or they are accompanied by knowledge or not, and also whether they are prompted or unprompted. Now you have met prompted and unprompted in the unwholesome jhanas. So if you know the 8 types of jhanas accompanied by attachment, then you will easily understand the 8 types of consciousness here. The only difference is here they are accompanied by or not accompanied by knowledge. So what is knowledge? Knowledge, or the Pali word jnana, is that which knows or penetrates things according to reality. That means according to their real nature. That is, which knows or sees things as impermanent, as suffering, and as devoid of permanent soul. And also, knowledge or jnana is that which knows or sees the Four Noble Truths, and also which correctly understands the karma and its results. So this type of understanding is called jnana in Abhidhamma. So not knowing everything is called jnana in Abhidhamma. So jnana is always associated with beautiful types of consciousness. So jnana is to be understood in a good sense. And we should understand also the synonyms of jnana. And there are many synonyms, but those that are frequently met with are given in the notes. So the first synonym is panya. So panya and jnana mean the same thing, the understanding or knowledge or wisdom. Some also translated as intellect. And next is amoha. Moha is delusion, and amoha, non-delusion. So non-delusion is another name for panya, knowledge or understanding. And the next is vijja. You may have heard about the word avijja, ignorance. So this is the opposite of ignorance, vijja. So it is knowledge, understanding, wisdom. And then sammaditti. Among the eight factors of noble eightfold path, the first one is sammaditti, or right understanding or right knowledge. So right understanding or right knowledge is just panya. And also, when you read about the factors of enlightenment, then you will come across the word dhamma vicaya, which is translated as investigation of the dhamma. So investigation of the dhammas really means understanding of the dhammas as they really are, etc. So there is another word for panya, and that is vipassana. So vipassana is also a synonym for panya or understanding, because through the practice of vipassana, we come to see the true nature of mind and matter. So vipassana is also a synonym for panya or jnana. Now, there are eight types of consciousness, wholesome consciousness in this group, and some of them are accompanied by or associated with knowledge, and some are not. So we will come to them when we look at the chart. So now let us go to the chart. Beautiful consciousness of sense sphere. There are altogether 24, and 8 wholesome, 8 resultant, and 8 functional. Now the first consciousness, with pleasure, with knowledge, unprompted. So when you do something good, say when you practice some charity, give something, or help someone, or pay homage to the Buddha, or study Dhamma, or practice meditation, then one of these 8 types of consciousness arises in you. So the first one is when you practice with pleasure, a pleasurable feeling, and with the full knowledge, with the knowledge that there is karma and there is the result of karma, and so on, then the first type of consciousness is arising in you, and so on. So with pleasure, with knowledge, unprompted and prompted. Sometimes you do meritorious deeds, or you practice meditation spontaneously without being encouraged, or sometimes you have to be prompted, or you have to be encouraged by yourself or by others. So altogether we have these 8 types of consciousness. So first is with pleasure, with knowledge, unprompted. Second, with pleasure, with knowledge, prompted. Third is with pleasure, without knowledge. Sometimes, although we do meritorious deeds, we do without the understanding or knowledge. Sometimes, say we may give something to somebody, or we may offer something to somebody, But if we do not invoke this understanding in our minds, then that understanding is not in our mind. That understand our consciousness is not accompanied by that understanding. Sometimes we do not paying much attention. So in such a case, our consciousness will be without knowledge or not accompanied by knowledge. So such type of consciousness can also arise. When the consciousness arises without being induced or encouraged, this is called unprompted. But sometimes you have to encourage yourself, or others have to encourage you, or the circumstances encourages you to do something. So then it is called prompted. Sometimes the consciousness is accompanied by indifference. That means neutral feeling. Your consciousness is not accompanied by pleasurable feeling or displeasurable feeling, but this neutral feeling. So when it is accompanied by neutral feeling, we have these four types of consciousness. So there are altogether eight types of wholesome consciousness pertaining to sense sphere. These eight types of consciousness arise in us whenever we do something good, whenever we do meritorious deed, whenever we study Dhamma, we practice Dhamma, or we teach, or we learn, or we do charity. So these eight types of consciousness. Now these eight types of consciousness, since they are wholesome, they give results, and their results are two kinds, identical results and non-identical results. Now, the eight resultant consciousness given below are the identical results of these eight types of wholesome consciousness. Beautiful consciousness of sense sphere. So, since they are the types of consciousness are identical, I do not repeat them for resultant and functional. I give only the circles of zeros. So you'll have to repeat with pleasure, with knowledge, I'm prompted, with pleasure, with knowledge, prompted, and so on. So these are the identical results of the above eight types of consciousness. There are non-identical results of these eight types of consciousness, and they are the ones we studied last week among the 18 rootless consciousness. You remember that there are seven resultants of akusala, unwholesome, and eight resultants of wholesome. So they are the non-identical results of these eight types of wholesome consciousness. Now, when a Buddha or an Arahant does something good, they preach Dhamma, then one of these eight types of consciousness will arise in him, in the Buddha and the Arahant. And when the same type of consciousness arises in Arahants or Buddhas, they become functional, because they do not give any results, and they are not the results of anything. So they are called functional. So we talk about functional consciousness, I think last week. There are three functional consciousness among the 18 rootless consciousness. So they are like this. So when these eight types of consciousness arise in Arahants and in Buddhas, they become functional. So they are the actually the same identical types of consciousness. That is why arahants are said to be those who do not have either kusala or akusala. Since they have eradicated all mental defilements, there can be no unwholesome consciousness for arahants. And there are no wholesome consciousness for arahants, since they have eradicated the roots of all existence, ignorance and attachment. They do not acquire fresh karma. So whatever they do is just doing or just the action, and does not bring any results. So sometimes arahants are described as those who have eradicated both wholesome and unwholesomeness. So when an arahant, say, pay homage to the Buddha, he does not get kusala, he does not get merit. It's just an action for him. So altogether there are 24 of these types of consciousness, and these up to this we have 54 types of consciousness, 12 unwholesome, 18 rootless, and 24 beautiful consciousness of sense sphere. So these 54 are called consciousness pertaining to sense sphere, kama vichara. The first 8 are kusala, among the 24 we are now studying, the first 8 are kusala, the second 8 resultant, and the third functional. These are the 54 types of consciousness which pertain to sense sphere, which human beings, animals, and devas frequently experience. The next group is the consciousness pertaining to form sphere, rupa vachara chetas. Form sphere means the world of Brahmas. Now, above the human realm, there are realms of celestial beings. Broadly speaking, the first group of realms is Deva realm. And above the Deva realm, there is the Brahma, B-R-A-H-M-A, Brahma realms. Deva realms belong to sense sphere, but Brahma realms belong to form sphere and formless sphere. So form sphere means they still have a physical body, although they do not have all the material properties we have as human beings. So consciousness pertaining to arising mainly in those realms or in those beings is called consciousness pertaining to form sphere or rupa vachara cheta. And these rupa vachara chetas are all jhana chetas. I think you are familiar with the term jhana. In fact, the word zen is a derivation from the word jhana. So, in order to experience the rupa vachara chetas, then we need to have jhanas, or we need to attain jhanas. Now, what do we do to attain jhanas? In order to attain jhanas, we must practice what is called samatha meditation, calm meditation or tranquility meditation. And there are two kinds of meditation: samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. So samatha meditation means calm or tranquility meditation. You can read about them in the 9th chapter of the Manual of Abhidhamma. So when a person wants to attain jhana, he must practice one of the 30 subjects out of the 40 subjects of Samatha meditation. There are 40 subjects for Samatha meditation, and 10 of them do not lead to attainment of jhanas. So the remaining 30 lead to the attainment of jhanas. Samatha, S-A-M-A-T-H-A. In Sanskrit, it is called Shamatha. So in order to get this kind of jhana, a person must practice one of the subjects of Samatha meditation. So let us say he practices the Kasina meditation, Kasina, K-A-S-I-N-A. That means he make a disc of earth or some color, and look at this disc and say, if it is an earth disc, he say, earth, thousands and thousands of times. He look at it, and then he close his eyes and try to memorize it. So when he can visualize the image of the disc without looking at it, he is said to have reached a stage of concentration. Then after that, he doesn't need to look at the disc, but he just visualize that image in his mind, and then dwell upon that image again and again. And that image will become more and more refined as his concentration deepens. So after reaching that stage, a time will come when he reaches into the jhana state. That means the jhana consciousness will arise in him. A kind of consciousness which is not like anyone he has experienced before. That type of jhana consciousness which is very concentrated. So that type of jhana consciousness arises in him. And when that type of consciousness arises in him, he is said to have attained jhana. And after the first attainment of jhana, he can later have this jhana consciousness arise in him many, many times. So he can go into the attainment of it again and again. Now, that jhana consciousness is accompanied by 5 jhana factors. Initial application, vitakka, sustained application, vichara, joy, piti, happiness, sukha, one-pointedness of mind, ekagata. These are the constituents of jhana, or factors of jhana. Actually, they are chetasikas. We are going to study them maybe next week. So these are the chetasikas. The initial application means a state of a mental factor that directs the mind to the object, that takes the mind to the object. And that is called vitakka in Pali, and it is translated as initial application. We'll be studying them later in the later lectures. And sustained application is the mental factor which keeps the mind on the object. So initial application takes the mind to the object, and sustained application keeps it there. Initial application is compared to a bee diving towards the flower. And sustained application is compared to the bee buzzing around it. There are other illustrations or similes. We will be studying them later. And the third is joy or piti. And the word piti is translated in different ways by different authors. Joy, happiness, zest, rapture, pleasurable interest. So I think if we want to be specific, we need to retain the Pali word piti, because nobody will know what we are, what we are meaning when we say just joy or happiness. Now, this piti is not feeling in Abhidhamma. It is something like a precursor to pleasurable feeling. That is why it is translated as pleasurable interest. It is like, suppose somebody tells you, you are going to enjoy good food. So when you hear this, you have some kind of good state of mind. So that is piti. And when you really enjoy the food, that is the next one, happiness or sukha. So piti and sukha are compared to that. When you hear something or when you see something from a distance, which is desirable, then there is piti. And when you really enjoy it, then there is sukha, or happiness. So actually they arise simultaneously at the same time. And the fifth factor is one-pointedness of mind. You know what one-pointedness of mind is? It is samadhi. It is another name for samadhi, right? Concentration. Ekagada. Eka means one. Aga means object. So mind having one object, that is ekagata. So one-pointedness of mind. So these five factors arise with the kama vachara chetas also, but with the jhana chetas they are highly developed. They are very concentrated. That's why they are called jhana factors here. So these five factors accompany the first jhana. There are altogether five jhanas. So these five factors accompany the first jhana. After getting the first jhana, and you try to be familiar with this jhana by entering into it again and again, then you will want to go to the next jhana, and then to the next jhana, and so on. It is like before you get a BA degree, and you want a BA degree. After you get the BA degree, you want to have an MA degree. Then after that degree, you want to have a doctor's degree or something like that. So when you get first jhana, before getting first jhana, you want to get first jhana. Then after getting first jhana, you think it is not so good. So I'll go to a better one. So I will eliminate something. And so the yogi eliminates these factors one after the other. We'll see them when we go to the to the list. So first jhana, then second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and fifth jhana. Now, when we talk about jhana, we must be very precise and specific. And we must understand what is meant by jhana, and what by jhana factor, and what by jhana chitta. Because they are not identical, not the same. So we need to understand jhana, jhana factors, and jhana chitta, jhana consciousness. When we say a person attains jhana, we mean both chitta and jetisika together. But to be specific, then we must understand what we mean by jhana and so on. So what is jhana? Jhana is a group of jhana factors, group of the constituents. In the case of the first, the group of five factors, five constituents, they are called jhana, collectively. Jhana factor means these, each one individually. So each one is called a jhana factor. Initial application is jhana factor. Sustained application is jhana factor. When they come together, and a group of five, four, three, two, then we call them jhana, collectively. And jhana chaita or jhana consciousness is the type of consciousness accompanied by these jhana factors. So we must understand these three clearly. Jhana, jhana factors, and jhana chaita. Now, these jhana chaitas take different objects than the the sensuous chetas. And the objects of jhanas are kasina objects, breathing, etc., because I cannot give you all of them. I told you there are 40 subjects of samatha meditation, and 30 of them lead to jhana. In order to get jhana, you have to practice meditation, samatha meditation, and the subject you chose will become the object of that jhana. So if you choose the earth disk, then the image of earth disk will become the object of that jhana. If you choose the color disk, say blue, yellow, red or white, then that the image of that disk will become the object of object of this jhana. So kasina objects, and also breathe, you can practice samatha meditation on breathing, or you can practice vipassana on breathing also. So when you practice samatha meditation on breathing and you get jhana with that meditation, then the jhana, the object of that jhana is breathing. So there are many kinds of objects for the jhana consciousness, but they are all concepts, or most of them are concepts, not the ultimate reality, because you look at the earth disk and then try to visualize that earth disk in your mind, create something in your mind, and so that is a concept, not the real thing. And there are altogether 15 of rupa vachara chetas, and let us look at the list. Form sphere consciousness, 15. So rupa vachara chetas, there are 15. Wholesome, 5 wholesome, 5 resultant, and 5 functional. Now the first jhana, with vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. And the English translations are given down at the bottom. So the first jhana is accompanied by these 5 factors. Now, after getting the first jhana, you want to get the second jhana. And you find fault with vitaka, I mean initial application. Initial application takes your mind to the object, and so it is close to distraction. So you think if you can eliminate initial application, your mind will be better concentrated. And so you try to eliminate vitaka by practicing again the meditation you did before, I mean the samatha meditation. And suppose you are successful, and when the second jhana arises, then there will be no initial application with it, because you do not want any initial application to arise. By your power of meditation, the willpower, vitaka will be eliminated. So in this way, one factor is eliminated for each jhana. So after getting second jhana, you want to go to the third jhana. Then you eliminate vichara, I mean sustained application. Then after third jhana, you don't even want PD, because PD can make you floating on the surface and not concentrated enough. So you try to eliminate PD. So only sukha and ekagata remain. That is a fourth jhana. Now, after getting fourth jhana, you even think that sukha is not so good. Happiness is not so good. Happiness is also close to PT, and which is close to vichara, and so on. And so it would be better to have indifferent feeling, or to have equanimity rather than happiness. So you try to eliminate sukha, I mean happiness. And when you get the fifth jhana, instead of sukha, there is upekkha, which is neutral feeling or indifferent feeling. So fourth jhana is accompanied by two jhana factors, and fifth jhana is also accompanied by two jhana factors, but the fourth is accompanied by sukha and ekagata, and the fifth is accompanied by upekha and ekagata. So there are these five jhana consciousness of wholesome type. Now, when a person gets jhana, any of the jhanas, and he dies with these jhana intact, that means before he dies, he is able to enter into this jhana anytime he likes, then he will be reborn as a Brahma. And his first consciousness there will be the resultant of these five. If he gets first jhana here, then the first jhana resultant will be there, and so on. So there are five resultant consciousness: first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana. And there are only identical results for these types of consciousness. No non-identical results. And the resultant types of consciousness here, five, can be experienced only in the world of Brahmas, only in the world of form. They cannot arise in human beings or in the devas. But the first five, the wholesome, can arise in human beings, can arise in devas. Now, when an arahant practices samatha meditation and he gets jhana, then they are said to be functional for him. They won't give any results for him. So they become functional types of consciousness. There are also five functional types of consciousness, the same as the wholesome. So first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana. Now, after getting five jhanas, a person may want to go on. Now here, there is some kind of an attitude towards physical body. Although it is not a correct attitude, but people get these attitudes. There are people who think that because we have this physical body, we have suffering. If we don't have physical body, we will not suffer. There are a lot of diseases that can arise in our physical bodies. And because we have physical bodies, we fight with each other, we quarrel with each other. And so they think that if we do not have physical bodies, we would be very much happier. So, after getting the five jhanas, that person or those persons try to gain the higher jhanas, which are called arupa vachara, consciousness pertaining to formless sphere. Now, formless sphere means the realm of the Brahmas who have only consciousness and mental factors. They do not have any physical body. So in those realms, consciousness and mental factors only arise, and not the physical body. Without depending on any physical base, the consciousness can arise in those realms by the power of a strong concentration or meditation. So in order to get the arupa vajra, a formless jhana, first he practices the jhanas from first to second to third, and so on, and the fifth. Then after the fifth jhana, he again concentrates on the object of that jhana. Say, suppose he took the earth disk as the object of his meditation. So he tries to visualize that object in his mind also, this time for the attainment of Arupa Vajra Jhana. Now, he is a person who is who does not like physical body. So anything connected with physical body, anything connected with material thing is distasteful to him. He wants to eliminate all these things. Now, the image in his mind relates to the real object of the disc. So he does not like that image also. So he tries to eliminate or remove that image from his mind. So first, he concentrates on that object, on that image of the Kasina disc, and then he just does not pay any attention to that object. He stops paying attention to the object. Yeah, that's right. After the fifth jhana. Now, when he does not pay attention, or when he stops paying attention to that very vivid object, that object disappears in his mind. And in its place, there remains just empty space. Now, he concentrates on that empty space. He may expand that image, I mean that space, to any size, maybe to the size of a football field or to the size of the whole world or the universe. Then he concentrates on that empty space and practices meditation. And a time will come when his mind reaches the first of the formless jhanas, or the formless jhana consciousness arises in him. Now that formless jhana, the first one, takes that space as its object. And that space is just space, so it has no beginning or no end, and so it is called infinite space. So the infinite space is the object of the first formless jhana, or Arupa Vajra Jhana. Now, after getting the first Arupa Vajra Jhana, he wants to go to the second. So in order to practice, in order to gain the second Arupa Vajra, or formless jhana, he concentrates on the first jhana consciousness, saying this jhana consciousness is infinite, or just saying consciousness. So he tries to he concentrates on the first Arupa Vajra jhana, and when the hindrances are subdued and when his concentration becomes mature, then the second Arupa Vajra jhana will arise in him. So the second Arupa Vajra jhana takes the first Arupa Vajra consciousness as object. Now, when he gets the second formless jhana, the first one disappears. He no longer has the first one, because he has got the higher consciousness. So when he wants to attain the third formless jhana, he concentrates on the absence of the first cheta. Not on the first cheta, but on the absence of first cheta. Please note that, because in the manual there is some inaccuracy or some mistake in the manual. So in order to get the third Arupa Vajra jhana, a person concentrates on the absence of first cheta. Nothingness, we call it nothingness of first cheta. Because at that moment, first chitta is no longer with him. So on that nothingness, he concentrates saying nothing, 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 nothing. And so the third arupa vajra jhana arises in him. After the third arupa vajra jhana, he proceeds to attain fourth arupa vajra jhana. This time, he concentrates on the third arupa vajra consciousness and saying, this is sublime, this is peaceful, this is sublime, this is peaceful. And in time, in due course, he will attain the fourth arupa vajra jhana, which is called neither perception nor non-perception. It's a strange name. So there are altogether four arupa vajra jhana consciousness. They are wholesome consciousness. Concentrates on the third arupa vajra consciousness and saying, this is sublime, this is peaceful, this is sublime, this is peaceful. And in time, in due course, he will attain the fourth arupa vajra jhana, which is called neither perception nor non-perception. It's a strange name. So there are altogether four arupa vajra jhana consciousness. They are wholesome consciousness. Their names in Pali are long names. It's difficult to memorize for those who do not know Pali. So akasa nanja yatana vinya nanja yatana akinchanya yatana nivasanya nasanya yatana. So we have now the four arupa vajra jhana consciousness, first, second, third, fourth. And the objects of these chetas are what? Of the first, the infinite space. Infinite space means infinite space in his mind. And of the second, the first arupa vajra cheta. Of the third, the absence of first arupa vajra cheta. And of the fourth, third arupa vajra cheta. Now, infinite space and absence of the first arupa vajra cheta are just concepts. They are not ultimate things. But the first arupa vajra cheta and the third arupa vajra cheta are ultimate things. The first and the third are concepts. The first object and third object. And the second and the fourth, that means first arupa vajra cheta and third arupa vajra cheta, they are ultimate things. Because they are chetas, and so they belong to ultimate truth. One? Now, infinite space is a concept, and absence is also a concept. But chetas are not concepts. Chetas are ultimate things, ultimate realities. Now, there are altogether 12 arupa vajra chetas, 4 wholesome, 4 resultant, and 4 functional. So they also give identical results. So if a person dies with first arupa vajra jhana intact, then he will be reborn as a formless Brahma. And his first consciousness there will be the first resultant formless consciousness. And all the arupa vajra jhanas or chetas have only 2 jhana factors. They are accompanied by indifference and one-pointedness of mind, like the fifth jhana. That is why they are reckoned as fifth jhana. So all the 12 arupa vajra chetas are classified as fifth jhana. because they have two jhana factors arising with them. Now let us see the list. Formless sphere consciousness, 12. So, and then four wholesome, four resultant, and four functional. So the first is the first Arupa jhana. It is easier to call first Arupa jhana and so on, instead of calling them infinite space, infinite consciousness, and so on. So whichever way you want to call, it's up to you. So the first Arupa Vajra jhana, second, third, fourth. They all have two jhana factors arising with them, and they are accompanied by indifference. And the resultants are the same as the wholesome. So first, second, third, fourth, or infinite space, infinite consciousness, absence of consciousness, neither perception nor non-perception. And the functionals, the four functionals, and they arise in Buddhas and Arahants, the same thing. So there are altogether 12 types of formless sphere consciousness. Now, yeah? The resultants are the same as wholesome, and the functionals are also the same as the wholesome, but they are the result, and they can be the results can be experienced only in the realm of Arupa Vajra Brahmas, formless Brahmas, but the wholesome and the functional can be experienced among human beings or in the Brahma world. Now, the name neither perception nor non-perception. Why is this the last or the fourth one called neither perception nor non-perception? Now, here, perception does not mean perception only. Perception here means just mind or mental. Perception also means feeling. It also means sankhara, mental formations. Now, the fourth Arupa Vajra jhana is so refined, so subtle, that it is barely perceptible. It is so refined that it could be said that there is no mind at all, something like that. But although there is no gross consciousness, there is very refined kind of consciousness there. And so it is called neither perception nor non-perception. It is something like, there is just a little water in this cup, not even as much as this. Suppose a little water here. Then somebody say, there is water in the cup. So I'm thirsty, so I want to drink water. So please bring me the cup, I want to drink the water. Then the man will say, there is no water in the cup. There is no water means there is not enough water in the cup for you to drink. Just a little bit. But when you see, when he says, there is water, because there is a little water there, it is not dry. So in the same way, there is very refined state of mental activity in this type of consciousness. But it is so difficult to perceive that it's almost non-existent. So it is called neither perception nor non-perception, not one way or the other. Now let's go to the next one. Supramundane consciousness. Supramundane consciousness means those that transcend the mundane state. Now, In order for the supramundane consciousness to arise, there must be enlightenment. So we must understand what is meant by enlightenment in Buddha's teachings, in Buddhism. So enlightenment here means, that is according to the teachings in Pali Canon, enlightenment means realization of four noble truths. And direct seeing of Nibbana, because at that moment Nibbana becomes the object of consciousness. And also the eradication of mental defilements. So this is what we mean by enlightenment. It is very important to understand this, because this word can be used differently by different people. See, if you ask them. So enlightenment, according to the older teachings of the Buddhism, means the realization of Four Noble Truths, direct seeing of Nibbana, and eradication of some mental defilements. In order to gain enlightenment, one must practice vipassana meditation. So without the practice of vipassana meditation, there can be no enlightenment, according to this Abhidharma teaching. So suppose a person practices vipassana meditation and he progresses from one stage to another. And let us say he is successful. And so at the end of the successful vipassana, there comes enlightenment. And at the moment of enlightenment, a type of consciousness arises in him. And that type of consciousness is called, in Pali, Magga, M-A-G-G, there, Magga or Path consciousness. That consciousness arises in him. And that consciousness sees the Four Noble Truths, or sees Nibbana direct, and also eradicates some mental defilements altogether. So if a person is enlightened, then he must have eradicated at least some of the mental defilements. If he reaches a fourth stage, then all will be gone. So there are four stages. Then immediately after the path consciousness, there follow two or three moments of fruition consciousness or phala consciousness. So magga is always or immediately followed by phala. Path consciousness is immediately followed by fruition consciousness. There is no gap between path and fruition consciousness. So there are four stages of enlightenment. The first stage is the stage of stream entrant, sotapanna. Stream here means the stream of Dhamma. So when you get into the stream, and you are sure to reach the ocean. So when you get into the river, then you are sure to reach the ocean. So a person who has gained the first stage of enlightenment is sure to reach Nibbana. That is why he is called a stream entrant. A person who has reached or who has gone into the path, the sure path to Nibbana. Who has gone first? Who has first reached the stream of Dhamma? And it is said that after becoming a Sotapanna, he will be reborn at most seven times. So after the seventh rebirth, there will be no more rebirth for him. he will attain final nibbana. Now, after becoming a Sotapanna, he may want to reach the higher stage. So he practices vipassana again, and he gains the next stage of enlightenment. That is the stage of once returner. The Pali word is sakadagami. Once returner means he will return to this human world only once. That means he becomes a once returner here, and then he will be reborn as a deva or maybe as a brahma there, and he may come back to this human world only once. And after that, he will gain final nibbana. Then the third stage is the stage of non-returner. Then he practices vipassana again, and then he reaches the third stage. And the third stage is called the stage of non-returner. That means he will not return to this sense sphere. So he will be reborn in the world of Brahmas. There are five realms of Brahmas which are called pure abodes. So he will be reborn in these pure abodes after he becomes a non-returner in this life. And the next stage is the stage of an arahant. Arahant means a worthy one or a person who has eradicated all mental defilement. So these are the four stages of enlightenment. And for each stage, there is each path consciousness and fruition consciousness. So for the first, there is path consciousness and also fruition consciousness. For the second stage also, two. For the third stage, two. For the fourth stage, two. So we get altogether eight types of supramundane consciousness.
Why is it that a pawn can a non-returner become an arahant in the pure abode?
Yes, he will become an arahant in the pure abode.
So if you go on to another
Oh, yes. Yes. I don't know. He may come back once. That is at most. After being reborn as a deva or as a brahma, he may practice meditation there and he may become an arahant there. Then in that case, he may not come back here again.
This may be a difference between what we call the Mahayana school, because there's some teachings that only in the human realm can you continue to, that you can go to the higher realms and go through wonderful experiences, but you still have to work through the human realm. That may be a difference.
Yeah, that may be different. But in order to become a Buddha, and you have to have a human being. Only a human being can become a Buddha. Not a deva, not a brahma. A deva cannot become a Buddha. Only human being. So you have to come back to human realm and fulfill paramitas, perfections. And it is only in the human realm that paramitas can be fulfilled to the utmost degree. Now, a Sotapanna eradicates some mental defilements altogether, but some remain with him. Then, a Sakadagami, the second one, once returner, does not eradicate any more mental defilements, but attenuates them. Makes them weaker and weaker. Then the third stage, attainer, the anagami, eradicates some more mental defilements. And when he reaches the fourth stage, the remaining, all the remaining mental defilements are eradicated. So after reaching the fourth stage, a person's mind becomes totally pure. So no more mental defilements for him. Now, with regard to the enlightenment, we need to know the factors, eight factors of magga, eight factors of path. I think they are not strange to you. Right understanding, right thought, and so on. So, these are the factors. They are called factors of magga or factors of path. The first two, right understanding and right thought, belong to understanding group or panya group, and right speech, right action, right livelihood belong to morality group, and right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration belong to concentration group. You know, there are three steps to be undertaken by those who want to make spiritual progress. And the first stage is sila, morality. And second stage is concentration. And the third stage is wisdom. So here, the middle three, right speech, right action, right livelihood, constitute the first stage, sila, I mean morality. And then right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, they belong to concentration group, and right understanding and right thought belong to panya or understanding group. So these are the eight factors of magga. They are also the chetasikas. Here also we need to understand magga factor and magga cheta, or path factor and path cheta. So magga means a group of seven or eight of these factors. So these factors as a whole or as a group are called magga or path. And path factors mean each one of them individually. And magga consciousness or path consciousness means the consciousness accompanied by these magga factors. So we have magga factor, magga cheta, or path factor, path cheta. And the object of all supramundane chetas is nibbana. So all supramundane cheta, whether path consciousness or fruition consciousness, take nibbana as object. So only one object. So there are altogether eight supramundane consciousness, four path consciousness and four fruition consciousness. And they can become 40. So let us look at the chart. So first path consciousness of stream entrance, second path consciousness, third path consciousness, fourth path consciousness. And the resultant are the same. The first fruition, second fruition, third fruition, fourth fruition. Now, in actual practice or in actual experience, the first of the path consciousness is immediately followed by the first of fruition consciousness. And second path consciousness is immediately followed by second fruition consciousness, and so on. And in the supramundane chetas, there are no functional consciousness, no functional types, because path consciousness does not arise again in that person. By arising only once, it can do its function of eradicating mental defilements altogether. So there is no use of its arising again. Even though if it would arise again, there would be no function for it. So magga, I mean path consciousness, does not arise again in a given person. Therefore, there can be no functional consciousness in Supramundane Chaitas. Only the kusala, only the wholesome and resultant, no functional consciousness. No. One can achieve any of these stages. I mean, any of these means first stage or first and second, or first, second, third, or first, second, third, and fourth. So one can achieve up to fourth stage in this very life. Or it may take many lives.
But if you achieve, say, one, and then through hard work you achieve two, how do you know you achieve two if half consciousness occurs only once in your life? In other words, if you achieve consciousness of the stream and then you go on to the once return, how do you know you achieve that if it only occurs once?
Now, occurs once means the first part consciousness occurs only once. It does not occur again.
Oh, I see.
So the first jhana, you can achieve that over and over and
over. That's right, yes. That is the difference between jhana and...
it's a different consciousness, is what you're saying. If you achieve it, you achieve that particular type once, and if you achieve the once return,
so you achieve once returner,
right.
And that particular path consciousness will not arise in you again. Only once it will arise. So when you get to the next higher stage, then the third type of consciousness, path consciousness will arise. Not the second type of consciousness. Okay. Now, there are eight types of supramundane consciousness or 40 types of supramundane consciousness. So, in order to get 40, we just multiply 8 by 5. five jhanas. Each one of the eight types of supramundane consciousness is multiplied by 5 jhanas. And they come to be called first jhana, first path consciousness, second jhana, first path consciousness, third, fourth, fifth jhana, first path consciousness, and then first jhana, second path consciousness, second jhana, second path consciousness, and so on. So the dots represent all these types of consciousness in between. And so we go to the last one, the fourth fruition consciousness. So first jhana, fourth fruition consciousness, second, third, fourth, fifth jhana, fourth fruition consciousness. Now, it is strange to have the name both jhana and magga or path. Because if it is jhana, it cannot be path. And if it is path, it is not jhana. You know, jhana takes concepts and other things as object, and path and fruition consciousness take nibbana as object. So they have different objects, and so they cannot be both jhana and path or fruition at the same moment. But here they are called jhana because they resemble the rupa vajra jhanas. They are not jhanas actually, but they resemble rupa vajra jhanas in being accompanied by 5 jhana factors, 4, 3, 2 jhana factors. That is why they are called first jhana, first fruition consciousness, and so on. So they are not actually jhana consciousness. They are path consciousness and fruition consciousness. And the factors, some of the factors both belong to jhana and magga. For example, initial application. Initial application is one of the jhana factors. And it is one of the path factors also, because right thought is nothing but initial application. The right understanding, right thought. So right thought really means the initial application. So many factors belong both to jhana and path or magga. But when they arise with path consciousness, they are not technical jhanas. They could be called jhanas, but not in a technical sense. So when we say jhana, we mean the form sphere consciousness and formless sphere consciousness. But when we call supramundane consciousness, jhana consciousness, we mean that they resemble the rupa vajra jhana consciousness in having in being accompanied by a number of jhana factors. Actually, no. Nibbana can be taken as a direct object only at the moment of enlightenment, only at the moment of path consciousness. Now we say, I do this meritorious deed with Nibbana in mind, or with the object of attaining Nibbana. Now, Nibbana cannot be taken as a direct object by those who have not gained enlightenment, actually. So when we say, I take Nibbana as the object when I do meritorious deeds, that Nibbana is not the real Nibbana, but just a name or something in your mind. So Nibbana can be taken only as object at the moment of enlightenment.
We are all having states of consciousness all the time, even though we don't know what the categories are.
Yes.
I'm having one, I'm not having to work at it. But to get the higher ones, jhana or whatever, do you need to know what they're called? Do you need to meditate specifically to achieve them? Or do people sometimes have an experience that if they describe to you, you would say, oh, that's jhana? That's whatever. Does that happen naturally, or are these only achieved through meditation?
It is achieved only through meditation. It cannot come naturally, because you need to have a very strong samadhi, a strong concentration to gain jhana. And so without the practice of meditation, that kind of concentration cannot be achieved. They are done at the moment of path consciousness, and at the moment of fruition consciousness, then the seeing of Nibbana is also there. But the eradication of mental defilements is done at the moment of path consciousness, and the function of fruition consciousness is just to keep them eradicated, something like that. So it is like the path consciousness is like you're putting out the fire when you pour water on it just once, and then in order that it may not burn again, you pour more water on that. So pouring more water on that is like the fruition consciousness, and the first pouring of water is like path consciousness. And it is strange that all four noble truths are penetrated or seen at one single moment. And there are similes for the third consciousness functioning or having these four functions at the same moment. They show the simile of a lamp or a candle. It burns the wick, it burns the oil, it dispels darkness, and it produces light. So at one and the same time. So in the same way, when third consciousness arises, it fully knows the first noble truth, and it eradicates a second noble truth. It sees or realizes a third noble truth, and it develops the fourth noble truth. You can read that in the first sermon, the given to the five of his disciples.
Half consciousness, for it to arise, you must develop at least the first, the equivalent of the first jhana. Is that correct?
No. Jhanas are not prerequisites for the attainment of enlightenment. You know, there are two kinds of noble persons. The first are called maybe jhana, those who gain attainment through jhanas. And there are others who do not practice samatha meditation, but they practice only a pure vipassana and gain enlightenment. So jhana is not a prerequisite, not indispensable for the attainment of enlightenment. You can practice in two ways. You can practice so that you get jhana, and then you make that jhana the basis for vipassana meditation, or the object of vipassana meditation. And that is called those who have the vehicle of jhana. Or you can just practice vipassana meditation and gain enlightenment. And those persons are called those who have pure vipassana as vehicle. And they are called dry vipassana people. Without jhana.
Can you develop vipassana without concentration?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, you need concentration.
Yeah, you need concentration.
Yes. But not as strong concentration as in samatha meditation. So in order to develop jhana, you need very strong, very one point, very strong concentration. But in vipassana, what you need is called a momentary concentration.
Momentary.
Yeah. It is also, it should be a good concentration, but not as solid as the samatha, in samatha meditation. Now, first, when you practice meditation, you cannot keep your mind on the object. It goes here and there, and you have thought or all these hindrances. So long as there are hindrances, you do not get the momentary concentration. So little by little, these hindrances disappear from your mind or gradually subdued. So a time will come when you can keep your mind on the meditation object, on the chosen object, for a long period of time, say 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 30 minutes. And there may be very little distractions. There are very little going out of your mind. And even when it goes out, you can just catch it. So such a time is called a time when you have the momentary concentration. So when you gain momentary concentration, then you begin to see things as they are. You begin to see the mind and matter really clearly one unmixed with the other, and then you see the arising and disappearing of things and so on. So without that momentary concentration, there can be no seeing of reality. So in Vipassana also you need concentration. But the difference is that in Samatha meditation, you keep on the your chosen object only. You do not pay attention to other objects. You do not pay attention to your thoughts or distractions or whatever. You just try to keep your mind on here, like this. But in Vipassana meditation, you choose one object, and that is the home object of your meditation. But you pay attention to other objects also when they become prominent at the present moment. So that is the difference. So in Vipassana meditation, objects may be different at different moments. At one moment, the object is the breath or the movements of the abdomen. At another moment, it may be the noise from outside, or maybe your thoughts. But whatever the objects are, you are always aware of them. You are always mindful of them. And when mindfulness or concentration develops, then these distractions and others come to you less frequently until they may not come to you at all. So you need concentration in Vipassana meditation also. Okay. Now we have to cover many things in a single talk, and so it may be a little difficult to digest.
We also have the books.
Oh yes, I brought the books. And I haven't talked about these charts, so you can study the 89 or 121 types of consciousness with this chart also, and you can put numbers here if you like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. The numbers are on the chart. On these charts, I give the serial number of consciousness.
From top to bottom,
yes. So 1, 12, then 13, 30, 31, and so on. And it is better to put colors in the circles like this. And keep it handy with you, and you can take it out and look at it at odd moments.
Go to bed concentrating on
the very good, yes.
When this book doesn't have a couple of maps in it, so. Maps.
Oh, yes.
Can I take a copy now?
It's okay. Yes.
This one has all the pages but no charts.
No charts? Yeah. You know, they were printed in Indonesia. And so
they don't count like we do.
How can you tell if you have what you need?
By reading it.
Is that it? He's too sharp tonight.